Okay, but it's good to begin worship with a special consciousness. You know, one of the things that was learned at the Bethel camp was that each and every one of us is actually called to worship. And that's what it is. Every single time you come, whether it's a youth worship or the main worship, it is God Himself who calls you to come. Okay, so each time you come for worship, practice coming with a special consciousness. Okay, today there's a settledness and quietness about everybody. So take a bit of time to speak to the Lord, take a bit of time to pray, and ask that along the way you will sense the Lord's presence near you. Maybe it is the song, maybe it's in what some of them will be sharing, maybe it's in the reading of the scriptures, but along the way, let the Lord meet you where you are. That will be what worship is every single week. Okay, so let's always find worship to be something very meaningful, something very personal, but you have to look for it. Because if you don't look for it, you'll miss it. Okay, so let's try and practice that. We're going to have the prelude. Take a bit of time, quiet your own hearts, and then we'll begin. Okay? Let's pray as we begin worship. Our Father in heaven, we come to you, and today we pray very much you help us, Lord, to go beyond just the surface of what worship appears to be. Help us to learn how to sense you. Help us to learn to listen to you. Help us to know that you are very near and dear to us. And we ask that you help us as we begin this worship, that you grant grace to each and every one who is playing a special role, and that you will bless each and every part of the worship. We ask for these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
안녕하세요. My name is Gloria, and I just came back from Korea.
Good afternoon. I'm Cheryl, and I've been in Singapore. So last week, our chairpersons were Jerome and Josh. Josh, my husband, said that when he was asked to chair, he thought he would chair with me. I must say it was quite nice of him. But for avoidance of doubt, when I was asked to chair, chairing with him never crossed my mind. Because I have a feeling that I'll be chairing with a special friend.
Just like Teacher Josh and Jerome, Teacher Cheryl and I were also in the same Sunday school class. If I can have the slides, please. Yeah, so these are some of the pictures. I would like to think that our class outing were much more fun than the boys, because I heard the guys only went to play laser tag. But we went to like escape room, and then the next slide, we went painting, and like we did many other fun things. We also went to board game cafes. So like Teacher Cheryl and Teacher Lina brought us to many places. And then the next slide. Yeah, and we also had baking at teacher Alina's house.
So our friendship is special not only because we have known each other for a very long time, but really because how it has developed over the years through a common faith in God. And it's even more special at this time of the year because we're preparing to serve together at the junior camp this year. So the junior camp is really the highlight of Bethany's children's ministry. And during junior camp, we'll get to spend 4 full days with the children. So I first joined the children's ministry actually in 2014. And that's 12 years ago when I was Gloria's age. But over the 12 years of serving as a CW befriender, serving in camps and even at Sunday school, God has taught me so many lessons about what it means to serve in the children's ministry. And one precious lesson that I've learned is that God works powerfully in the lives of each precious child. So Gloria and her friends, Nat and Clara, were actually my first Sunday school students together with teacher Alina. It was in 2018 when we spent a lot of time together through countless outings, as what you have seen, through Sunday school children's worship. And back then, it was hard to imagine how they would grow up. So when they were 11, our Sunday school class actually took the spot right there where the cajon is. At the start of class, they were talking non-stop. nothing could get them to stop, even when it was time to pray and start. Right? And I really wondered, would they remember anything that I taught them? Gloria, do you? And I remember one outing, right, at a baking competition at teacher Lina's house. We would split them into teams. And suddenly, they rolled eyes at each other over who got to be in whose team. And I thought to myself, oh dear, I don't know what to do now. I didn't know what to do, right? And at various junctures over their teenage years, I wondered if they could cope with the stresses of school, if they could figure out their next steps, and if they found God real amidst all that they had to navigate through in life. And I wondered if the time that we spent together were going to result in anything meaningful at all. And that was back then. But over the years, God, in His own power, has certainly drawn them to Himself at different points in their lives. They experienced how God is so real to them amidst all that they needed to navigate. And that was certainly something that I couldn't have imagined when they were 11 years old. So a most recent photo that we took was at a dinner this year. I remember this dinner very fondly. We had this dinner before Nat and Clara flew back to Australia for their university studies. And in many ways, they didn't change. As usual, they were still yappers, non-stop talking. But this time, they shared very earnestly. They shared earnestly about their faith journeys, thoughts about moving on to university. But I was especially moved at how they shared about how they were all trying to find their place in the Lord's house. And in fact, a few months ago, when we were preparing for family camp, Gloria shared right here at Youth Worship about how she was preparing to serve at the family camp. And that evening, Gloria texted me. So I'll show you a screenshot of our WhatsApp text. When I watched her chair, I teared. I sat in my seat and I teared. And I thought I was secretive enough, but clearly not.
No, she wasn't tearing. She was sitting beside teacher Gabe, I remember. And she was full on crying. Like,
yeah, if you could see, right, there's a difference in the timestamp of when I actually replied, like 3 hours, because I thought I kept it a secret. But I teared up because I remember 11-year-old Gloria. I remember how I couldn't imagine how God would work in the lives of the girls who were in our class. And I was truly just so moved of this opportunity that I had to hear her speak of God and how she wanted to live for Him and to serve Him. But even though I couldn't imagine back then, that's really how God's power can work in the lives of each and every one of His precious children. So going into junior camp this year, I'm once again reminded that the children's ministry is truly so, so, so special. Every child is precious in God's eyes, and God can draw each one to Himself. And the children that come through our midst, each of them can truly grow up to be someone significant for the Lord. So my response is that I want to continue serving in the children's ministry, even if I cannot understand immediately what God will do in each of their lives. So what then is our role in the upcoming junior camp? Well, many of us will be helpers. Many of us will be helping to clean, to spend time with the children doing activities, or to help them prepare for their games. And how then should we serve? If we know that each child is truly precious to God, if we know that they too can find faith real one day, then we too can help to care for them. We too can spend that extra time to talk to them, to help them get their food, to get to know them, and to set that good example for them. And in all that we do, may we know that we can show God's love to them, even though we are helping, regardless of whatever capacity that we have, we are in. So the first song that we'll be singing is You Made Us Your Own. Well, this is a song that speaks of God's power that can work in us to change our lives and to draw us to Himself. And this is the same power that can work in the lives of the children that we'll meet at the junior camp. So may we also all do our part to love these children, to also be a part of the Lord's work at this camp coming up. Let's take this song together.
Thank you to the musicians and the AV team for supporting us in worship today. I just came back from Korea, and I spent almost around a week over there. But after I came back today, everyone asked me if I did something to myself. But don't worry, I didn't do plastic surgery or anything. Yeah, I'm still the same. So the theme of this year's junior camp is Great and Precious Promises, which is drawn from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And the committee has spent a lot of effort to plan activities, games, a lot of food for the children. And we hope that the children will get to enjoy all these activities. But behind it all, there's also the goal of passing on the precious faith that we have found and obtained to them. So during our first comm meeting, Pastor taught us the need to first understand our own faith before we can even think of passing it on to the children. And one thing that I questioned myself was, is this faith real and precious to me? And if it is, then this faith that I have found must be anchored in the Word of God. This lesson was more personal and real to me during the recent university application period. So last year, towards the end of the year, I applied for a few overseas schools. And actually, during this period of time, we were meant to hear back from them. But for quite some time, even until recently, I either hadn't heard back from these schools or were offered other courses. And I guess a natural response that most people would have is worry or fear. And there were also many people asking me, oh, like, how's it going? But amidst this silence and uncertainty, what came to my mind were lessons from the Word of God. And recently, in particular, what we've been learning at youth worship from Deuteronomy, the Song of Moses stood out to me. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8 to 14, the children of Israel were instructed to remember how God had protected them from their enemies, how He blessed them, how He provided for them, how He allowed them to thrive. And my response amidst the silence and uncertainty was to focus on who God is. He is a loving and compassionate God. And there's the promise of God to bless those who would seek Him and those who would draw close to Him. And instead of the word of reassurance that men could give me, that I'm good enough for this course, that I'll definitely get in, I chose to focus on these precious promises that could be found in the Word of God. And when I did so, I found this special sense of peace that I couldn't really explain to others why, and many questioned why I was still quite calm about it. But I knew that it comes from my faith in God's Word and His promises to me. And the Word of God affected the way that I viewed and responded in this time of, university application. And likewise, the Word of God can also affect the way that we choose to serve, especially in the upcoming junior camp. For all of us, even as helpers, having this real impression and personal faith in the Word of God is also important before we can serve meaningfully.
each of us play an important role, whether or not we relate to the children, we help them, and the Word of God will guide us in the way we interact with them. For example, how we serve with love, how we show them patience, especially since the children can be a bit difficult at times, they might not listen very well, but the Word of God will teach us how we should conduct ourselves and how we should serve at junior camp. And junior camp is a very special week where we have a lot of time and a lot of opportunity to relate to the children, to practice our faith and learn to serve the Lord well. The next song that I've chosen is Ancient Words. I like the lyrics of the song, which talks about the Word of God being the holy words of our faith, being preserved and passed down from generation to generation. The Word of God has the power to give us strength, to help us cope, to guide us and change both me and you. May we be encouraged to have our faith anchored in the Word of God and let His Word do a marvelous work in our lives. Let's take the next song together.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today we'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 to 5. In this passage, we read of Moses' final prayer of blessing upon Israel. Moses commenced his prayer with a deep consciousness of the Lord. Deuteronomy 33. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them."
Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun. When the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together.
Well, first of all, we want to give thanks to God. You know, as you know, this week, Pastor and Auntie Sally, they went for an operation. And both the operation were successful. Auntie was discharged yesterday, amazingly, and Pastor, of course, is recovering well in hospital. You know, it's wonderful to see how the whole church rallied together and to pray for Pastor and Auntie, especially on Wednesday, and we were having real-time updates concerning each operation. And it's wonderful to see how we can come together and to pray for Pastor and Auntie. Even our overseas brethren, they were also being updated and being able to pray alongside. So we really thank God for His love, for His grace, for His mercies in hearing and answering our prayers thus far. You know, young people, what is it that we want to learn about prayer? You know, and it struck me even more about how prayer is real. You know, I come to appreciate even more the reality of prayer, that we have a God that we can turn to call out to Him, and that He would hear us and answer our prayers. You know, and in seeing how He has helped Pastor and Auntie through their operations. You know, sometimes we wonder whether God actually hears us. Sometimes we wonder whether God would answer our prayers. I've been there and I understand that. And it's not easy at times whether we have that faith to believe. But this week really reinforced to me even more the reality of prayer, that we can turn to a God who is real, and we can turn to Him and to bring about our concerns to Him. And therefore, we can have greater confidence in prayer. In 1 John 5:14, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heals us. So let me encourage you, find prayer real in your life. Let's learn what it means to pray. Be confident that much more about God as one who is real. He hears and He answers our prayer according to His will, each day, every week. Well, of course, we want to continue to pray for Pastor and Auntie, even as they fully recover. And we pray that they will be able to be back to normal and back with us soon. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You for being our loving and merciful God. Thank You for being a God who hears and answers our prayers. Help us, Lord, to understand the reality of prayer, that we can relate to You and to call upon You. And we pray especially for Pastor and Auntie, for the way that You have answered us and given us answers to our prayers. May we also appreciate how You will continue to watch over them. And we pray that You will help them to recover. May we continue to have confidence in prayer so much more. And we pray that You will especially bless them, grant them Your grace and mercy in their recovery. And may we continue to learn to see how prayer can be so much more real to us. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, thank you to each one for your part in worship today. And also, we must not forget those who write in the bulletin as well. It's good to be able to do that, to reflect and to concretize the things that you're learning. Okay, now we're going to begin to look at a different chapter today. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy 33. So this would be the first in a series of messages that come from this chapter. Okay, now, what is the whole topic that we're going to look at? We're going to look at the subject of prayer. Why? Because Deuteronomy 33 was Moses' prayer. And actually, this is no ordinary prayer, because this was his final prayer, the prayer that he made before his death. Well, I wonder what you think of as you think in terms of prayer. Well, Pastor Mark mentioned this week that this was a week that we, for many of us, practiced this idea of going to prayer. But I want to ask you, what is it that you're conscious of every time you pray? I think for the vast majority of us, we pray because there is something that we need to pray about. So during December or May time, if heaven has an inbox, I think it will be very full. Because everybody will be sending prayers up, please, 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 help me to do well. Then after the exam is done, please, please let my results be good. Sorry, that one have to delete. Because bopake already, is after the fact, God's not going to change your results. But usually, when we pray, there are needs. Usually, if there are not needs, usually it's a lack somewhere. Like we are lacking in one way or another. Or a lot of times, as I hear you speak sometimes up here also, it's your sins that bother you. It's your own inconsistencies that bother you. And that's what you're conscious of when you pray. But you know what? Essentially, our consciousness still remains very much on ourselves. And I think that we have a lot to learn when we read this prayer of Moses. Because this prayer is no ordinary prayer, of course. But you will realize that Moses' consciousness, from the beginning to the end, is simply the Lord. And that's something that we can all try to comprehend a little bit more of. Even as I speak, same for myself as well. How do I learn to pray with a greater consciousness of God Himself? Okay? Well, before we go further, let's take a look at the very first verse here. We need to have a bit of context of the kind of prayer that was made right here. So let's have a look a little bit. So one, we note a few things. Okay? First, the prayer. Okay, as in the person who prays, the prayer. The prayer is Moses, the man of God. Now, the prayer matters. Because the person who prays that person needs to be in a good, strong relationship and standing with God. And Moses certainly had that because he was known as the man of God. So one, we note the person who prayed. Two, what kind of prayer is this actually? Well, it is a prayer of blessing. So we read, this is the blessing which Moses blessed the children of Israel before his death. So the timing also has to be noted. Okay, and why is this prayer not an ordinary prayer? Because of a few things. One, it is Moses who prayed it. Two, it is for the children of Israel. Now, if I were to ask you, please pray for Singapore, what would you say? It will be very, very challenging. What do I pray? How do I pray for Toa Payoh? How do I pray for Bukit Timah? I think the needs are not the same. That you don't know. You don't know them well enough. If I ask you to pray for the children of Israel, you have no idea where to start. Well, Moses would be able to do that. But finally, it's also significant because it was the final prayer. So let me ask you again. How would you pray if this was your very last prayer you could make before you die? A little bit hard to imagine that. But how would you pray? What would you say? Who would you pray for? And how would you go about it? You see, there are many, many things that we can learn from this prayer over here. Okay, I'm just going to focus on the first part of it, right? And the first part of it is Moses' consciousness, even as he entered into prayer. And his consciousness was on the greatness of God. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. How did Moses really become conscious of the Lord like this? What is it that he was really, really conscious of? It was the Lord, it was his greatness, and these were the things that really, really stood out to Moses. Okay, so let's take a look, let's go into the prayer a little bit. And we're going to ask ourselves this, how did Moses go about cultivating this consciousness of the greatness of God? Okay, now we read here in verse 2, okay, and that's where he began. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. How do we cultivate a consciousness of the Lord? One of the ways that we need to consider is this word we call, take the time to remember. We must take the time to remember, because it's in remembering that we catch a sense and a glimpse of the Lord all over again. See, look at his words very carefully. The Lord came from Sinai. This, one of the things that Moses was absolutely unforgettable, it was absolutely unforgettable to him, was this experience at Mount Sinai. You know, it was there at Mount Sinai, if you remember, this would be Exodus 19. Okay, and it was there at Mount Sinai that the presence of God was revealed to the people there. And there was the Lord coming up down upon Mount Sinai in a fire, in a cloud. And Moses looked back on 40 years of ministry. Now think about that. 40 years, if you had 40 years of serving God to look back on, what would you remember in that 40 years? I mean, there are many things he could have remembered. He could have remembered the 10 plagues. Water to blood. Water to blood. Water. He could have remembered that. He could have remembered the manna. He could have remembered a lot of things. But the one thing that stood out in his heart is that one experience of it all was Sinai. And it just stood out to him so much. Because it was at Sinai that the greatness of God was actually revealed and felt. And he never forgot that. You see, we have to take the time to remember. What is it that you would remember? Okay? And it's not just at Mount Sinai either. We read, and dawned on them from Seir. This is the presence of God with the people. So Seir is basically this place we call Edom. Okay? So Seir is the name for the land of Edom. And then he shone forth from Mount Paran as well. So Paran and Seir were places along the wilderness journey. So Sinai, so that as they came out from Egypt, they went to Mount Sinai, and then that was where the Lord's presence came down upon Mount Sinai. And from that point onwards, the presence of God would then go with the people in the form of the tabernacle and the ark. And so the presence of God would be there, a cloud by day, a fire by night, and He would be there with the people throughout the journey. So they would be there, and Seir was the tail end of the journey. Mount Paran is somewhere in the middle. But the point of it is not the details of all these things. The point of it is that God's presence was with them every single step of the way. See, this is not written with as a historical thing here. He dawned on them from Seir. When exactly? It's not written with when exactly in mind. It is written poetically. Moses was thinking back on 40 years of ministry. And what stood out? The Lord. God Himself. That He came at all. That He came down upon Sinai. That really stood out to him. And not only that, that the Lord's presence continued with them. Not one day, not 2 days, but for years and for 40 years, the Lord was with them every day. Fire by day, fire by night, cloud by day. Fire by night, cloud by day. There they were at Seir. The land of Edom was where they were beginning to face hostilities. And it was there, and beyond that, they faced Sihon and Og and all these other enemies. Would God's presence be there? He would be there to protect the people. How could Israel have defeated Sihon and Og? You think about that. That is really hard to imagine. How can that even be possible? But for the Lord that was with them. And so the wilderness journey was there. And, you know, there's a beautiful description there. If you want to, you can read this later in Psalm 68. David would actually describe this, how the presence of the Lord would go before the people and they would march through the wilderness with the ark in the lead, with the Lord in the lead. And that was what it was. It was day in, day out, the presence of God. Every time the manna was there, that should have reminded them of the presence of God, the provision of God. Every time they fought a war and won, that should have reminded them of the presence of God. What was it like? This is how Moses described it. And dawned on them from Seir. It's like the dawning of the sun each day. You guys ever see that? The dawning of the sun, how glorious it is. These days the sunrises are pretty nice. I know because my home, you can actually see the sunrise quite easily. It is there. And how it dawns, like the way that the sun rises and the glory of the Lord fills the whole place there. It dawned on them from Seir and shone forth from Mount Paran. You see, this is a poetic way of remembering. What did he remember? The presence of God. What did he remember? The greatness of that presence. And it just stood out to Moses. You see, remembering is critical. Because we too often forget. We forget how the Lord protects us. We forget how the Lord provides for us. We forget how the Lord leads us. And that is why Moses began this prayer with these words here. Remember. You know, in the last few weeks, we've been seeing quite a bit of people writing poems. Usually we have our poems, but this time there are other people who wrote. Because they wanted to write tributes to Pastor Charles, Pastor Charlie, and to Auntie Sally. Well, the one that impressed me the most, not so much because of anything, but because she's 87 years old. This person wrote tributes, a poem each, one to Pastor Charles, one to Auntie Sally. She's 87. I can't tell you who she is because she's very shy. So she doesn't want anybody to know except them, and I guess me. So, but it's wonderful. And so the first part of it to Pastor, she said, because she's so much older. So first thing she says, she remembers it. My pastor is a Teochew Nang. That stood out to her because she's also Teochew Nang. Then she wrote about all the things that he has gone through so much. He has gone through all these illnesses. He still can come up to the pulpit and share. And it just stood out to her. You see, poetry is such that when you remember, you're not remembering on the 12th of May 2023, you did this. That's not poetry. It's just extracting and highlighting the things that really stand out. And to her, what stood out about Pastor is the fact that he would serve in spite of his illnesses. That stood out to her. So she wrote about that. See, that's the whole idea. Okay, and then for Auntie Sally, she wrote, a woman of great honor to be Pastor Charles' kidney donor. Wow. 87 years old. Very good. Then she said, the kitchen is her domain. Then she talked about the music ministry. She talks about this is where she dishes out all these things here. She just highlights things. Right? We see this all the time. We see it every day. But she remembers. And she writes it down. And remembering becomes reflecting. That's what Moses is doing here. This is not meant to be a factual thing. This is not about facts. We know the facts. This is about an appreciation because you have taken the time not only to remember, but to reflect. And that's what we need to do a lot of the times. We've read so much. We've learned so much about God from all these years of youth worship. Years, we can say now. Years. What stands out? You know, actually, at the end of the day, it's just one thing. The Lord. Does God really, really stand out to you for who He is? You know what? It should. He should. After 40 years, Moses' focus is just the Lord came. The fact that He's with us, the fact that His presence is with us, the fact that He goes with us, the fact that He leads us, that is what stands out. Remember. And from your remembering, reflect. Extract out those things that really, really mean something to you. This is what he was trying to do over here. Okay, we carry on. And he came with 10,000 of saints. Where's that written? And who are these saints? These are not talking about human beings. These are angelic beings. Because when he came with. He was attended by servants. Angelic beings who attended to God. Because this is just how majestic God is. You see, on Sinai, there were many things that could be seen, but there were also many things that could not be seen easily. And one of them is this. The angelic presence was there. It's not mentioned, but if you read Psalm 68, it also mentions this. The chariots of God are there, are thousands upon thousands on Sinai. See, these were the things. How did Moses know? Maybe he went up. He was the only one who went up all 40 days, 40 nights, so maybe he saw. But that it was, you see, it stood out to him. It's not about the angels. This angel, how many wings? This one, what color? You know, with their colors. It's not about that. It's just God and the majesty of the person of God. See, all of these things. And he goes on, from his right hand came a fiery law from them. He remembers what it means to receive the tablets from the Lord. He remembers what it means to receive the law from God. And it was as it were fiery. Why? Because God himself is represented by fire. At Sinai, he came down in fire. Fire represents his holiness, his purity. And there could be nothing purer than what comes from God. This is the word of God. Do you treasure the word of God? As you listen to it today, does it set a fire within you to listen, to hear, and obey? See, what stands out over 40 years? This was what Moses was trying to distill in his first part of this prayer. You see, there were many things he could have prayed about, right? Were there needs? Yes, the rest of the prayer are needs. About the different tribes and all that. There were needs, there were problems, there were challenges, there was a future to look forward to, there were many things to pray about. But Moses didn't begin there. He began with the Lord. And that's what we need to remember, reflect. What is it that we need to be conscious of as we pray? Anytime we pray, it must be the Lord himself. Okay, and all of these things just add to the picture of how great God is. So this is the first part of it. So we got to take time, remember and reflect, okay? And then we go on to the second part here, verse 3. Yes, He loves the people. You see, the things that we remember, the more we remember, the more we reflect. We have to come to what we call a point of realization. What is it that you see as you remember? What is it you see as you reflect? So all of these people who wrote poems, tributes, they highlight memories, things that they remember about Pastor, about Auntie, about Bethany. What is it that you realize? You know what you realize? How important, how wonderful, what a privilege it is to have a pastor like that. That realization comes in. See, it has to come to a point of realization. So here's Moses. He looks back on 40 years. He highlights certain things. One, Sinai. Two, Seir. Three, Paran. Four, angels. Five, the Word of God. What is it, the point of realization that he comes to? It's simply this. Verse 3. Yes, he loves the people. Do you know, do you see that God loves you? You see, this is what the Lord has been trying to tell the people all this while. The Lord loves you. Not because you are more in number than all the other nations. Not because of anything. In fact, you are not very lovable. But the Lord loves you. Because. There's no because. He just loves you for what you are. You see, the point of realization is important, is significant, because we think we understand where God is coming from. But where is God coming from? At the end of the day, is love. And that love is there. He says, yes, he loves the people. All of the things he did, the presence of God with them, the protection of the Lord, the provision of the Lord, all of these things came from his love. Did you see that love? So the reflection has to lead us to a point of realization. And I see suddenly that all of these things that were done out of love. And so this is what this 87-year-old lady said. She said, she looks at Auntie and she says, wow, this is a woman that is just done out of love. And she, one of the things she noted is that Auntie will go around and ask everybody, is everything all right? Is everything all right? Which is true. Every time she goes around, she says, you okay? Everything okay? You okay? So she wrote that down in the poem there as well. You see, why are all of these things done? God loves the people. What is it that God wants? Look at verse 3. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. What is God looking for? A close relationship with his people. That's what God wants. See, they talk about the saints being in his hand. You know, it's like when we sing the song, Lord, I'm in your hands. That relationship, that closeness, that trust, that safety that is felt being in God's hands, right? And then they sit down at your feet. This is what we read in the New Testament all the time. How Mary would sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to learn. And everyone receives your words. This is the relationship that the Lord wanted to have. We think back on Exodus 19, think back on Exodus 24. That was the time when God gave his word to Moses and Moses brought it to the people and the people said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. That was that time. But that is sadly not very much a part of them after that. See, this is what God wants. Realization. Okay, and there we have, right, what is it that is important? Verse 4, Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob. What is it that we need to realize? The law, the word of God given to us, what should it be to us? It should be a heritage. Is the word of God a heritage for you? What is a heritage? Right? So we have Audrey, and she will be coming to join us here in Bethany as a full-time staff member. So what is she working at now? She's at the Heritage Board of Singapore. What do they do? Well, they spend a lot of time trying to preserve things, set up things to make sure that people don't forget the past. Right? Have you ever seen some of that work? It's quite good. I didn't exactly see a museum, but I did go to Tanjong Katong recently. And Tanjong Katong is quite a different place today. they have preserved some of the old buildings, you know, and they make sure that it is done not just like, oh, this is a museum, but they put very fancy things like very nice cafes. They put like batang or whatever it is to preserve the Peranakan heritage and make it look very nice and all that. Well, whose work is that? I think part of it is Heritage Board, probably not hers. But see, Singapore says we have a heritage worth preserving. Okay, so we must preserve it. What is our heritage at Bethany? Our heritage is the Lord's word. To know it, to treasure it, to love it, and to see it passed down to the generations. Because a heritage is such that it must be passed down. Right? So those of you who are involved in the junior camp, what are you doing? You're actually seeking to pass down. You're not here to just teach some lessons or to serve. You're trying to pass down a heritage. God is important. The word of God is important. The love of God is real. These are the things you're trying to pass down to the children there. See, that is where we begin to see, you know, and the word of God becomes our heritage. You see, this is what it is. This is a point of realization. You know, young people, we need to come to this point where we begin to realize what's truly, truly important. Actually, in life, there are very few things that are truly important. Right now, many things are important to you. Your friends are important, your studies are important, what school you go to is important. Truthfully, there are few things that are really, truly important. One, the Lord. Two, the Word of God. Three, the love of God. Four, the relationship with God. This is our heritage in Bethany. What else do we have? What could be more important than these few things? Because when you have the Lord with you, leading you, helping you, guiding you, you don't have to worry. This is where Moses was coming from. 40 years of ministry, and he looked to the future. He said he knew he's going to die very, very shortly, if not within the day itself. What will happen to the children of Israel? Read the song and you will know what happened. They're going to rise and then they're going to fall. Prediction is going to happen. How would you feel? These people that you have led out of the nation, out of Egypt and all this, and then you know that they are going to stumble. What would you do? Oh, desperately pray, Lord, please, 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 let that not happen to the people. No. One thing. The Lord. The Lord came. The Lord is with you. The Lord will go before you. You stay faithful to Him. See, that's what it is. We're all worried about all kinds of things. We need to come to a point of realization. Don't. What you need to be concerned with are a few things. The Lord, His word, His love, relationship. And if you have this, what do you need to worry? See, there are many things that we got to understand what this is all about. And then only can we really come to understand, this is God in my life, right? And then we go on from there, we look at it, and this is verse 5 over here. And he was king in Jeshurun. If we truly reflect as we should, right? If we truly come to a point of realization, this is God in my life. This is the Lord in my life. He is all I really need. You know what should come next from there? Reverence. Then we will revere God. Why? Because if you put the whole picture together, who is He? He is King. He is King in Jeshurun. Jeshurun is a tender, affectionate name to describe Israel. Uprightness. He would say of them, you are upright people, when he knew what would happen. Jeshurun, short form Jesher, where my nephew, Jesher, that's where this Jeshurun, they got the name Jesher from this word over here, Jeshurun. And that's what it is. King. Why is he king? You think about it. You put the picture together. He leads the people. He leads the armies. He's the commander of the armies. He is the one who goes before the people. He searches out the land for people, the people. He provides for the people. He protects the people. He goes before the people. What is he? Realization must tell us he is the king in Jeshurun. But you know, the people didn't understand that, sadly. Maybe at this point a little bit more, but years and generations down the road, the people will tell the prophet Samuel, make us a king, like all the other nations, when God was their king. And they lose this sense of reverence that was meant to be there. When we reflect correctly, we realize who God is. When we see who God is, we revere Him. And we learn to say, this is the God of my life, and I am going to worship Him the way He deserves to be worshipped, because He is King in my life. Is God King in your life? Does He rule your life? Do you submit to Him as King? You see, this is what it is. And there they were. The leaders of the people were gathered, the tribes of Israel together. They were one under Him. In the years to come, Israel will have a lot of problems with all the tribes here and there. But under the king, they were one, and they were there. You see, this is what it is. And as Moses began his prayer over here, it was not a lot of things he wanted to communicate. It was just this. When you pray, and if you are going to... In this case here, he was making an intercessory prayer. It wasn't just for himself. It wasn't about himself at all, actually. It was completely about the children of Israel. And in the weeks to come, we will see how he went about praying. There are many lessons for us to learn. But before we learn any lesson, the first lesson is this. Can we pray with a consciousness of how great God is? Can we do that? After all we have read, after all we've experienced, after all we have seen, let me ask you, who is God to you? Who is God to you? Does He lead your life? Do you listen to His word? Do you experience His presence? That's why at the beginning of the worship, I asked you, when we come to worship, do you sense the Lord? How real is the Lord to you? What do we really need in life? God, the word, His love, relationship. These are the things that He wanted to help the people understand very, very much. You see, this is the challenge, to learn to pray with a consciousness of the greatness of God. There are things that consume our attention, our needs, our challenges, your studies, your courses, your friends, your future. Did Moses not have similar challenges? Not exactly the same, but was he not concerned about their future at this point of time? Of course he was. But even so, the consciousness is first and foremost God, because he knew if they were to just follow the Lord, if they were to keep to these things that he just said, they'll be okay. But they didn't. And that is where they began to fall. You know, for some of us, the challenge lies here. We need to rediscover the greatness of God for ourselves. If you're a little bit younger, then it is not rediscover, but discover. How great God is. We sing that. How great thou art. Do you believe it? If you believe it, when we pray, you will find that you will not be so filled with worries and fears all the time. The heart and mind is stayed on the Lord. That is what it is. Some of us, we read, we know, we discover, but life consumes us with all kinds of worries. We lose that sense of the greatness of God. We need to rediscover. So in the book of Samuel, the ark was down there, and then they actually lost the ark. Can you imagine? The ark that went before the people in the wilderness, that ark was lost. Lost. It went to the enemies. And it was gone. And then the daughter of the priest gave birth to a child and called him Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory of God has departed. It means inglorious. You've lost your glory. You've lost the presence of God. And that was something that had to be mourned and lamented over. Can we lose the presence of God? Yes. This is what we're trying to say. When we read, all of this knowledge should bring us into a closer relationship with God, such that we really see who God is. One, we learn to remember and reflect. Two, we realize few things are important. we're going to hold on to those things, right? And three, what is it that we want to have at the end of the day is a reverence for God. Today, a lot of things are casual. This is casual. How people speak are casual. People don't even bother to say hello sometimes or thank you. No need. What for? Everything is casual. We've lost that sense of reverence today. That should not be the case. This is what we want to see. Okay, and if we can develop this consciousness of the greatness of God over here, then we will find that the way we pray will change. You will find greater hope. You will find greater faith. You will find greater assurance because you know that the Lord goes before you. And even if the future is challenging, you don't have to worry. This is what prayer should be. These are some of the lessons that we can learn as we look at this starting part of Moses' prayer. Well, I just want to perhaps share on a bit of a personal note, as we close. Well, this week was, of course, a challenging week. Pastor and Auntie were both undergoing their surgery. So Wednesday was very tense. Did you feel it? I felt it. Just kept checking. What's the next update? What will happen? You know, how do you pray? If you did pray, can I ask you, how do you pray? Maybe you and I pray the same, actually. My prayer is very simple. It could be the same as yours. I think it's the same as yours. My prayer is this: bring him back soon. Did you pray that prayer? Bring him back ASAP. Bring him back because we need him. Bring him back because it was through him that the Lord has built this church. Bring him back because he opens up the word to us. Bring him back because he leads us. That was my prayer. But let me ask you something. What if it did not turn out as we all had hoped? And of course, it did, thankfully. The surgery was a success. And both surgeries are a success. Pastor is still in the hospital, so please don't stop praying. Now is not the time to stop praying. But let me ask you, what if it didn't go well? How would you pray? You go back to this. The Lord. The Lord came. The Lord's here. The Lord's with us. The Lord leads us. The Word of God is there. The love of God is there. And we will hold on to these things for dear life. That is how we pray. The Lord. The future. What's there to... What do we look forward to in the future? Read the song. The future is a little bit frightening, isn't it? How do we know what the future will hold? How do you know what your future will hold? How do you pray for your own future? You pray with this in mind, the Lord. And if we can do this, then how we pray will change. Yes, there will still be needs. Yes, there will still be challenges. Yes, there will still be problems to face, things to overcome. But your faith, your hope, your confidence will now be in the Lord. And that is what will make all the difference for us in the way that we pray. Okay, I hope that this makes sense to you. And these are lessons that cannot be learned overnight. These lessons need to be learned through life itself. Praying is not theoretical. It's only when we are truly faced with these situations that we need to pray, that we're driven to pray. But what did Moses want them to know? Listen, the Lord will go before you. The Lord will be there. You be faithful to him, and you don't have to worry about other things. That is how he began his prayer. And of course, there will be many other parts to follow, but this is the first, the 101 lesson of prayer. Okay, let's try to apply that even as we pray right now. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we ask you firstly to forgive us. Because sometimes, and most of the time in prayer, we don't even know how to be conscious of who you are, of how great you truly are. And Lord, we've lost this sense of your greatness along the way. We ask that you forgive us. We pray that for those of us who may be struggling very much at this time, you help us to rediscover your presence in our lives. Help us to rediscover your greatness. We ask that along the way, you help us to pray a little bit better, and there will be a little bit more faith, a little bit more hope, a little bit more confidence. We ask that you teach us lessons of prayer. Lord, you help us, Lord, open our eyes to your word, and may your word speak to our hearts. We ask for this grace to be given. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, young people, spiritual lessons are never easy to learn. And how do we learn lessons like this? Well, you have your own wilderness to go through. You will have your own challenges to face. That's the best place to learn. So in any and every challenge, bring God into your life. I want to say to those who are younger, bring God into your life. You are not going to regret it. It's going to be the best decision that you can make. And if you do that, then you will find him leading you in life, and it will be the best possible way to live. Okay? Well, thank you so much. Thank you to each one for your part. May the Lord bless, and have a good weekend.